During the Switch, Pivot, or Quit chat, we talk to women that have successfully navigated through some of the plot twist years of life and are eager to share their stories and what they've learned in the hopes of inspiring, teaching, or making even the slightest impact by candidly owning their truth. Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping into the Switch Pivot Equip podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist. I'm Ayana Angel, and I am your host as well as chief encourager. On today's show, we're chatting with Imani Quinn, who is the founder of Swaje. Imani is a creative who taught dance throughout the Los Angeles school district while building her company before ultimately leaving to pursue her dream full time. Swaje is a multicultural lifestyle brand that's focused on creating multicultural awareness through textile design, as well as female empowerment through the Goddesses That Give initiative, which gives back by mentoring the young girls from underprivileged communities. Imani is an artist, but first and foremost, a social activist on a mission to elevate the consciousness of her community at large. Let's get into our chat with Imani. Hello, Imani. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Excited to chat about this. So before we get into a lot of the details about Swaje, go ahead and get us started by telling us a bit about your professional career and what that entailed and how you made this transition, how that sort of came about.
Yeah, of course. So I'm a dance teacher, and I taught dance in a charter school in LA for the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. And essentially being a creative and a social activist is always at the core of what I'm doing. And so with teaching dance and with my company, Swaje, that's like the through line that kind of connects everything. Mm-hmm. But I decided to make a transition from teaching dance full-time to trying to shift my energy more full-time towards Swaje. And I still teach, but it's not my main focal point anymore, because doing it full-time takes a lot of energy, especially right. Working with children. And it's very rewarding, but I needed to shift my energy more towards what Swaje needed to kind of breathe life into it, because if I'm not breathing life into it, then it's not going to move anywhere. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now, are you from LA originally?
No, I'm not. I'm from Oregon originally. And then I moved out to California 6 years ago, to San Diego first. And in the last 5 years, I've been in LA.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. LA is one of those places where I asked you because it's one of those places where you can definitely find, your inspiration for creativity and just to sort of like do your own thing. I find that LA and New York are those types of places where so many people have their hands in so many different things. It's like, you almost feel like a slacker if you're not doing something on the side.
Oh, right. If you don't have five different passions, but you're working on all at the same time. it is. Yeah. It's an energy and fuel source for that. I mean, just even walking down the street, there's consistently always like people doing photo shoots and, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. that energy just like lives here. And I think it's amazing. I think it's great.
Yeah, I do too. So you're the sole founder of Swaje, but you work heavily with your mother. She has a heavy influence on the business. How has that experience been working with mom?
Oh my gosh. Well, to sum it up, my mom is an artist. She's a dance teacher. She's a visual artist as well. She had a small business of her own when I was growing up as a child. She had a tea house. Mm. And so I grew up doing all of those things as well. But I kind of fought against it for a little while. And in college, I did marketing. And after school, I went and worked marketing for a few different companies as well. And I just wasn't really happy with it. I was trying to do the opposite thing of my mother because I thought that it would bring more security, and then realized that that wasn't what made me happy. And so I got back into doing the things that I enjoyed, which was being a dance teacher like my mom, mm-hmm. and creating as well. And so when I fell into doing Swaje, I design most of the pieces, I design all of the pieces, and she sews most of them up in Oregon, and we send material back and forth from LA to Oregon. And then when I'm up there, I help her with the sewing as well. So it's a job that would not get done without her. And she's a heavy influence on pretty much everything that I've created as well. The second collection I did is a Shibori Japanese dyeing collection, Japanese dyeing indigo collection. Mm-hmm. And I got the idea because when she had the tea house, there was a studio in the back room that she would dye indigo in, and she had these Shibori pieces. And so that was something I grew up doing and learning about. And so when I needed a collection for my, since it's multicultural, I want to bring in textiles from different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. That was one of the reasons why I even brought that in. So she is like the breathing life force and inspiration behind a lot of what I do with Swaje.
Wow. That's amazing, actually, because, I mean, it seems like, you know, she gives you so much inspiration and just knowledge of, it would seem like, about life as well, you know, creative and all over. So when you were sort of thinking of transitioning out of the corporate world, what was that exploration, like, process and situation like? And I'm asking because I know for myself, when I wasn't necessarily thinking of transitioning out of corporate, I just wanted to transition out of what I was doing. So I was like trying to figure out what I wanted to do next. And for me, that was like an exploration process of going back to some of the basics and the things that I enjoyed doing when I was younger. And you made me think of that when you mentioned sort of like fighting against what your mom was doing and trying to do your own thing and sort of carve your own lane, but then eventually going back to, you know, what you knew and what was normal for you. What was that process like for you, or was it a process?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that I can narrow it down to like two big diversion or path courses that I chose to take. Mm-hmm. And the first one was when I came to California, I was working a marketing job. And when I got the job, it took about 6 or 8 months after moving here to even get a marketing job, even though that's what my degree was in and what my experience was in. It was really hard. So it's kind of like the path of most resistance. And so then I was doing dance and performing arts on the side. And so I was a part of a company that was paying me to go and do performances. I was part of a theater production that I got paid to do. And so as I was doing these things, because I never gave up the arts altogether, it was just like the second priority in my life. And so when I realized that these things that were fulfilling me were giving back to me, and they were the things that were coming easier and with less resistance, I chose to focus my life more in that regard instead of in what wasn't fulfilling me. And so I moved to LA at that point, and I did a dance program up here, and then I looked for a dance job for about a month, and then I landed the job that I had for 4 years. And it was the path of least resistance. It was so, like, it was crazy to think that getting a marketing job, what my 4-year degree was in, took 8 months, but to get a dance job, what my life experience is in, and just like everything I've been doing since I was little, came so easy. And so it's really true when they say, like, when you find what it is you're supposed to be doing, or when you not even find it, because I think we always know, but when you tap into it,
right,
that's when things really start flowing. So that was like the biggest step in the process for me, was like accepting that. And then the second piece that brought Swaje in was realizing that I didn't need to get validated by other people to do what it was that I wanted to do. So when I was trying to do my art and in a way that was like, okay, well, I'll publish a poetry book when somebody publishes me. Mm. Well, why not just go self-publish? Everybody, you can do it. It's super easy. Right. So it was taking those choices and deciding to do things for myself. And so when I created Swaje, it was like, well, you spend all this money to go out and take classes and to be validated by other people, or to wait to get into a production. Well, why not just start your production on your own? And I think we have a lot of millennials that are doing that now. That's kind of like a new wave that's happening and a new movement. But that's how I started Swaje. I just decided to take action and build and create while I still can and while I'm here. So,
yeah. Love the action element. I'm all about action, and the same thing in terms of just deciding that you don't need the validation from other people and you should take action and try things and just venture out and see what happens and see what comes of it. Because, look, I'm of the mindset you only have this one life to live, so you might as well try everything mm-hmm. you want to try, do everything you want to do. Like, who cares what happens? Like, maybe it'll be successful, maybe right. it won't. But you, at the end, you can say that you tried at least. So I love that.
Yeah, and it's about the journey, right?
So. Yeah, exactly. And we learn so much on the journey. Yeah, and one thing yeah. can prepare you yeah. for the next thing. So that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
For those that think that working for yourself is all peachy and fun and freedom and all that good stuff, can you share one bit of reality that might make them think twice about their perception of that lifestyle?
Oh, yeah. yeah, when I go tell people, yeah, I'm a choreographer and I have a startup, they're like, oh, my gosh, that's so cool. And I'm like, yeah. No, it is. It is really cool. But
if you say so.
It's really hard. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. Being a sole founder, I mean, I look at most companies that have co-founders. A lot of companies have a co-founder. There's two people doing it. Mm-hmm. And I look at them, and the question I say to myself is, are you nuts? Like, why are you doing this alone? Ultimately, I'm not doing it alone. I reach out and get help from a lot of people mm-hmm. because I don't have all the skills necessary to do everything that I need, or even the time and capacity,
right?
You know, to do everything I need to do and the short amount of time that we have to complete it. So I'm always leaning on and getting help from other people around me, but it is really hard because you have to motivate yourself. Mm-hmm. When you leave your job and you no longer have a structure that's set up for you, no matter what, when you have a job, you go out there for 8 hours, even if you hate it or only get 3 hours of work done in an 8-hour day, you're still getting paid for that time right. that you're there. But I could spend an 8-hour day doing work, or maybe even more than 8 hours. Maybe I do 12 hours of work in a day. And it might not even bring a monetary value back for that day. It might lead to building more business relationships, or it may lead to a great new idea for a project that I'm going to put out. Mm-hmm. So it's all worth it and has some value to it. But you put in so much more work when it's yours versus when you're doing something for somebody else. And it feels really rewarding because you believe in it, but it has so much more risk involved because you're not getting that paycheck that you're taking home with you, no matter what, whether you hated your day or not.
Yeah.
And so that's like the really big risk that's involved. And so I think people looking in and they're like, oh my God, that looks so amazing and so much fun. They're seeing kind of like what the outside looks like and mm-hmm. the pretty house that's set up, but they're not seeing all of the building that's getting done inside yeah. of that house.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. That's an important part. Yeah. Glad that you touched on that for sure. So when you walked away from your last day of teaching, did you feel a sense of fear or did you feel a sense of relief or neither? Maybe it was another emotion that you felt.
Well, leading up to my job, quitting my job, I knew that I was supposed to quit. I could feel that it was time to go, and okay. I was resisting it. I wasn't doing it. And then it got to the point where I just felt like I had no other choice. I just needed to do it because mm-hmm. I was so exhausted. And I kept saying to the universe, why won't you change things? Change things for me. Why aren't things shifting? It's time. And then I realized they're like, woman, you are supposed to be the one to make the change. So yeah. I was like, okay. So I did. And when I first put my 2 weeks in, I bawled my eyes out. I cried really? For like 5 hours. I had puffy eyes. I had a headache the next day when I went to work from crying.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really sad because I love my students. I call my students my kids. Mm-hmm. And I was really invested in them, and I knew that I was making an impact with them, and so it was a hard decision to leave. So at first, yeah, it was really hard, but once I made that choice, it felt like a relief. Mm-hmm. It felt so good afterwards. So when I left, I haven't had a regret. I haven't been like, oh, should I have made that choice? I yeah. still feel good about the choice that I made. And so I know it was the right one, but that doesn't mean that it's an easy choice to make.
Yeah. True, for sure. What would you say is the number one key to embracing change? for those listening, because a lot of people, a lot of the women listening, you know, we're trying to figure it out, and they might be in a space where they're deciding to make a switch, pivot, or quit. And a lot of that, no matter whether it's a big, you know, big move or a minor move, it involves change. So what would you say, and you've obviously been through some changes yourself, what would you say is the number one key to embracing change as far as you're concerned to you?
Ooh. Well, I think we all have to learn that again every day, every day, every day. Mm-hmm. That has to happen. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, to say that I've mastered change, like, it would be so far from the truth. But yeah. what I know about myself for change is that I have a lot of resistance to change. Mm-hmm. I'm a Cancer, and I love comfort and security. Mm-hmm. And so having a routine for me is, like, amazing. And that was one of the things I really had to make sure I did when I changed my old routine, was that I put a new routine into place.
Okay.
But one thing for me with accepting change is that realizing that, like, it's going to move no matter what. Mm-hmm. But are you going to make that path harder or easier for yourself? As soon as you just accept it and embrace it, and just, like, exhale and breathe into it, it's going to be so much easier. And it's that fear of what if and what if and what if. But as soon as you do it, it allows you to grow. And so before I made my change, I realized that I wasn't growing as much as I did when I first moved 6 years ago. You know, when you make those big changes in your life, it makes you have to change or to grow rapidly. Like, you just have to shift your whole mindset. And so I was ready for that big change. Now, to say you're ever really ready is not true, but, like, you just have to kind of take the plunge and take the jump.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to change, it's like, it'll happen when it's time.
Mm-hmm.
And just trusting that. And when you feel it happening, don't resist it. Just, like, mm-hmm. let it trust that you got to trust. That's the biggest thing to do with change, is just trust.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times that means you don't know what's coming. So,
yeah. The uncertainty, the unknown, you know, I thank you for being very honest about your apprehension about change and not really being the biggest fan of change. Because a lot of times when people listen to other people and their stories, especially in this type of forum, it's like, oh, she has it all figured out. She's fearless and all of that. And some people are. Look, there are some people are.
Yeah.
But most of us are continuously pushing ourselves towards the things that make us uncomfortable every day. We're just constantly doing that, you know?
Yeah.
So I can appreciate
that. Yeah, every day. I think that we're all at different levels in our own lives. And so it's like I can look up to somebody else and be like, wow, they're on this journey that's so amazing. And, like, their company is where I want my company to be. And there's a lot to learn and glean, you know, from others' paths. But also remembering that, like, all of our paths look different.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, me dealing with change, it can look a little different than somebody else. But, yeah, I'm still dealing with it each stop and each process of the way.
Right. And speaking of dealing with things, when you had some of your most trying days, let's say, and just trying to keep your head up, you know, keep your head up, period, and move forward with balancing it all, what's some of the things that you tend to do to keep yourself going?
Ooh, well, I do yoga about 5 days a week,
mm-hmm.
and that really helps me stay present, centered, and mentally strong. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to stay mentally strong, because you can dip up and down, and that's going to happen no matter what. Even doing yoga 5 days a week, I still have days where I'm like, okay, I got this. Like, I'm on top of the world. And then other days where I'm like, holy crap, I got to start from the beginning again.
Yeah.
But I think having a practice of your own, of whatever helps you stay centered. Some people, that's like going to the gym all the time.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's like meditating and doing yoga, mm-hmm. because having to do that, like practicing of breath, just helps with patience and I could learn a new dose of patience like every day. So, you know, like just having to be patient with yourself. Yeah. My saying is always, well, some say patience is a virtue. I don't know, but I guess that's what people have agreed upon. So
right.
Somebody said it was true. So I'm trying to believe it, but having patience with yourself and your process.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you're going to have to work through it no matter what. So just take it at whatever pace you're at.
Yeah. If someone has a side hustle, but they're looking to transition into like working for themselves full time, what would you recommend as like the first step?
I think it looks a little bit different with everyone, but you mm-hmm. could transition yourself where maybe with your side hustle, you take less time with your side hustle. So take time away from that and then gradually add that time into whatever it is that you want to work on full time.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you can find the means and the way, you can just go cold turkey and cut off the side hustle and do your work full time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it looks a little bit different for everyone, and sometimes it can shift and change. Like, I don't think that I've taught dance for the last time, but I want to do it what I have been doing is in a more workshop style. So instead of having a full-time dance job that I have to show up to every day from 7:45 until 4 o'clock, I'm teaching workshop classes.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they're more on my schedule and in my time and in my giving, and I don't have to be there for 40 hours a week. So I think it's just redefining what you want to do. Maybe your side hustle is something that you still kind of need, but maybe you can rework it. And it's not about having a boss, but being a freelancer. Maybe you worked graphic design for a company before, but you could freelance it and do less hours, but do it for yourself and have, build a bit of a clientele.
Right.
So
that's a good piece of advice.
Yeah.
What has been some of the most useful advice that your mother has shared with you? Because it seems like you guys have a really in tune relationship, and there's a closeness there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that I watched your video on your website, and if you guys haven't checked it out, definitely go and check that video out, and she's going to give you all the information where to find everything toward the end. But in that video, it seems like there is a strong connection, and like you guys really talk about a lot of things. So what's one piece of advice that you've gotten from her that's like served you well?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, she's taught me everything. I talk to my mom like probably 5 times a day.
Wow.
She helps me through everything. But the biggest thing that she's taught me, two things, I think. One is to be able to fearlessly and unapologetically do what it is that you love, because she's always done that. And there have been times where, honestly, I've judged her for it, growing up as a kid and being like,
mm-hmm.
why can't you just get a 9-to-5 like everybody mm-hmm. else? And she'd be like, well, you don't get it. Like, I am working for myself. Just because I'm not clocking in at somebody else's place doesn't mean that when I wake up, I'm not working.
Yeah.
And I had a hard time understanding that concept before, but now that I am my own entrepreneur, I really understand it. Just because somebody calls you at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, just because you don't have like a job you're clocking into doesn't mean that you're free and available.
To chat.
You kind of have to set
exactly.
those. Yeah. To chat. Yeah. You have mm-hmm. to kind of like set those rules for yourself. That's not on anyone else. That's really on you.
Mm-hmm.
That was the biggest thing she taught me, but also being like really supportive of me. Cause there's a lot of parents that like, you tell them, well, I'm going to do this. And they're like, okay, well, you're on your own. Like you figure that out. I don't want anything. Like, I hope you make it, but I'm done with you.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's not like that at all. I mean, she's a majority of the reason why my company can even run, because she helps me with so much of the process of producing the product.
Mm-hmm.
So she believes in me more than like anyone. Like, she's just the most amazing human being for me, because not only does she believe in me and say, I support you, but she actively is involved in doing that. So that's one of the biggest things she's taught me. And then the second biggest thing is really understanding that everyone is in their own process, and having compassion for others. And that's really amazing because it helps you with self-awareness and really working on you and not putting your issues onto other people and like realizing that the most you can do is shift yourself and work on yourself. And yeah, not a lot of people will help you with that. There's, you know, there's a lot of individuals that you can be like, oh, I'm so mad at such and such. And they're like, yeah, you have every right to be and stay mad. And then that keeps you in like a hold because you're not moving forward. Mm-hmm. So to have somebody that's like, you know, they're probably doing that because of this and they have this going on with themselves. And you need to find a place to like love them unconditionally and have that compassion is to have somebody be able to tell you that like from a young age and instill that knowledge in you is that's like that's special wisdom. So that's the second thing.
Yeah, because so many of us, we are just so impatient with other people and their process and how we feel we might be treated within their process. And sometimes it has nothing to do with us. So, that's
nothing
that's,
at all.
just them living their life, doing what they need to do. So I think that's something that we could all stand to learn a bit more of from at an earlier age, because that's that could probably alleviate half of the issues in this world, you know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Definitely. Okay. People could focus more on healing themselves. There would be a lot less turmoil.
There you go. If you had a friend that called you like, girl, I am so over this job. I'm not feeling fulfilled by it, by this work. Like, I just need more of, I need a change. Like, I need more of something. And I don't know what it is, but I need a change. What advice would you give her to encourage her to go after what she truly wants?
Well, this is like actually a real question. This is something where like I have a good friend that I've been talking to about that. And I think that the two biggest things that I've had to do is be really supportive of it and and, you know, hope to inspire them by what I'm doing.
Right.
And to kind of like give a real life example right in front of them of, wow, she's doing it. And then the second thing you have to do is you have to have patience and understand that they're in their own process. Because sometimes when you get so excited for somebody, then you're like, okay, let's see you do it. Mm-hmm. And if like, they don't just like jump and say, okay, let's go. Then you're like, okay, well, it's not their time. And like understand that like when they're ready, they're going to. And just like accepting them for whatever stage in the process they're in. Because if you judge them or like push on them that they should be farther ahead than they are, then they're only going to shut down and like walk away from you and be like, oh, I can't talk to you about anything anymore. But yeah, just truly like inspiring them to feel like they can do it, helping them, listening to them, giving them advice and tools they can use. And then the biggest part, the hardest part for me is then sitting back and just like, letting them take it at their own pace.
Yeah. Agree with that. I'm definitely the one to be like, yeah, this is a great idea. Let's do it. Do it. Do it. Okay. What happened? What did you do? Where are you with this? You know? And I think it comes from a
thing.
Yeah. And it comes from a place of wanting to see the people that you care about and love. You want to see them win. But sometimes, like you said, it's not at your pace. They have to go at their own pace. And guilty. I'm definitely guilty of that.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
want, and that's probably also just a part of us being like human nature. We want to see things happen quickly, just in all aspects of life. We just want to see it.
I think I read something recently about that where it was like, our human selves are so obsessed with time because there's things that we want to get done that we can do that's like humanly possible while we're here in this physical realm. But like our soul selves, whatever you believe that to be, they don't have that problem with patience and with time because time is non-existent in a soul realm, right? Thinking that our soul lives on, there's no rush for that. So it's really a human stigma or problem of like, this patience issue and wanting to be like, oh, well, they've got to get this done then.
Yeah. So
that, you know, it's coming to fruition before they leave this planet.
Yeah. So, yes, absolutely understand that. Yes. That is how so many of us operate. It's like, before you go, do this, do that. I'm guilty of that too. Girl, you're just calling me out on everything.
Hey, me too. Yeah. If I didn't understand it, it'd be because I hadn't been through it. But I get it because I go through it too all the time.
Yeah. So speaking of all of those types of things and just like calling ourselves out on things, what have you learned about yourself since working with SWAJ full time?
Oh my gosh, I've a lot. Every time I slow down and I have something on my to-do list that sits there for like a month, it's because it's something that I am scared to do because I haven't done it before. And usually it's not because I can't figure it out, but it's just foreign to me. So whenever something seems foreign to me, I always kind of sit back and then I realize that that's like a fear that I have to get through and move through so that things can keep moving. So that's one big thing I've learned. Another big thing I've learned is that having confidence is really important. You know, we all think we're confident. I'm like, when somebody says that to me, you know, have confidence in what you do. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. I do. I have confidence in what I do. I think what I do is like amazing.
Yeah.
But then realizing that like asking people to do collaborations with you or like asking for help from certain people that you think would be really beneficial. You could gain some knowledge from them. Sometimes getting held up on that and being afraid to, oh, they won't want to collaborate with me. Like, oh no. And kind of having that self-talk get in there and then having to realize, no, like what you're doing is pretty great. And there are people that would want to work with you, and just kind of not being afraid to just ask and put yourself out there, because that's the only way that things are going to happen and move.
Right.
So that was another thing I learned. And then the biggest is following your gut and following your intuition, which can come in your personal and professional life. Because a lot of times we look for answers logically or outside of ourselves from other people. But if we were to just like quiet everything and kind of just tune into ourselves, our gut has an answer. And usually that instantaneous gut answer is the right one to go with. And honing in and really strengthening that intuition has like led me to things a lot faster than I would have gotten to them had I not been listening to myself.
Right.
So that's been really important in the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So through, I know I read about your Goddesses That Give initiative, and through that initiative, you champion women's empowerment. Well, really through everything that you do, you champion women's empowerment. Can you tell us a bit about how the Goddesses That Give initiative sort of got started and why you're passionate about implementing like not only programs that support women, but that also impact young women in a positive way?
Yeah. So Goddesses That Give is basically a platform within SWAJ where I sell goddess energy t-shirts, and the proceeds, part of the proceeds from each shirt, go to an organization called Step Up that helps with mentoring girls that are in underprivileged communities to help them succeed, you know, move to college and just to become successful in life.
Right.
And so I think a company or a person is never too small to be able to give back. So you don't have to wait till you're successfully making a whole bunch of money before you can give back to people. So even if I sell one shirt, I have money that I can give back.
Yeah.
And then that steadily grows. And so that's one of the really important elements is finding something that can give back. And then the other really important element for Goddesses That Give is that the goddess energy shirts are all about empowering yourself and feeling strong within yourself and realizing that we all have this goddess energy within us. Energy being the what what vibe we put out, what persona you put out, what subtle communication happens between you and other people, and not needing to be male or female. You know, you could be either one and wear a goddess energy shirt. I have a lot of men that'll come up when I'm selling them, and they're like, "Well, can I buy these, or they're just for girls?" And I'm like, "No, if you have goddess energy, you better wear it."
Yeah.
So it's just about like really creating a language around female empowerment, and mm-hmm. also just like a platform and a place and a way to wear it. So most of all of the shirts, they all have different goddesses on them. So one of them is a self-portrait black woman that I made mm-hmm. myself. Mm-hmm. Another one is Frida that my mom painted, and then she also painted Lakshmi. Mm-hmm. So because it's mm-hmm. a multicultural lifestyle brand, it's really important to me to be able to incorporate different deities or different goddesses and different symbolisms of what it means to carry goddess energy, so that everybody can kind of feel that there's something in it for them.
Mm. Okay.
So, yeah.
With that, have you figured out your why in life? Would you say you figured it out? And if so, would you mind sharing it with us?
Yeah. For me, my why is coming to a place where I feel like I am actively every day working on myself mm. and helping to raise the consciousness of our world through language and awareness. Mm. And so I implement those things into Swaje through doing my women's soul circles or having the goddess energy t-shirt collection. And then my other big why is creativity and allowing other people a space where they feel like they can be creative, and social activism, making sure that everything I'm doing is for a cause. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, our world has a lot of problems with it. Yeah. And mm-hmm. like, what, you know, by the time I pass, everything probably won't be fixed, you know, mm-hmm. it won't.
Right.
But ultimately, like, what needs to happen in order for that to, at least be alleviated and become less of a problem than it is that people need to embrace each other more, love more, and create a higher consciousness and awareness. And it's not like that woo-woo love of, yes, like peace, love, and, you know, world peace, and everybody just love each other, but like actively working on yourself. You know, mm-hmm. I have friends that will get upset about, like, well, the government or this or that, or, and like, you get in this really upset frenzy, but what is that doing to help anyone? So nothing. At the end of the day, like, nothing, right? So like, mm-hmm. what can you do? You mm-hmm. can't change anybody else, but you mm-hmm. can change yourself.
Right.
So the more people that are willing to do that, the more we can alleviate things. And so mm-hmm. I want to inspire people to do that, have self-awareness and raise the consciousness of people. So
that's beautiful.
That's my why.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also, it goes into as well, it's like, if you want to see things change and you know that you might not see the change within your lifetime, even at least knowing that you were contributing to what might cause the change or what ultimately might be the big change. It's like, to me, that should be fulfilling as well. You know, it's like, you're not just sitting by saying like, hey, this should be like this, this should be like that. Well, at least you're contributing and doing what you can in the time that you're mm-hmm. given. And then you pass the torch on to someone else. Maybe you spark the light in someone else that will continue doing the work that you started. You never know.
Yeah, to collaborate with each other and spark it within each other and mm-hmm. and grow the community.
Yeah. So what's the one thing that lets you know that you're living life on your terms, you're living a life according to her?
I think feeling really in alignment with my choices and my decisions. Mm. I have purpose because I believe in what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the medium or the way that I'm doing it may shift and change. But at the end of the day, like the vision and the why of why I'm doing it is always the same. And so because of that, that can always keep me on course. So even if you get discouraged and you're like, oh, I don't know if this is working, it's never that the end vision changes. It's just that maybe you change your path a little bit to get there. Just always knowing that I feel in alignment with myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, Imani, this has been an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for bringing your positive energy to this podcast episode. It's been awesome. Tell everyone where they can keep up with you online and how they can find you and just support as well.
Yeah, my website is www.swajeco.com. And that's the SWAJECO.com. Okay. And my social media, Facebook and Twitter for Swaje is SwajeCo. And for Instagram, everything for Swaje, and then just like my art and activism stuff as well is all under one. And that's my name, Imani underscore Quinn. And that's for Instagram. So at Imani underscore Quinn.
Sweet. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us. And we look forward to seeing all the amazing things that I'm sure you have in store for us in the future with Swaje.
Thank you. I'm excited to share.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. And everyone out there, thank you so much for joining us. And as always, keep killing it.